Well, I'm grateful, I guess, that I'm not preaching a full sermon today. Most of the time will be taken up by testimonies from 7 of the 10 who went to Russia this past couple weeks ago. My voice might not hold out if it was a full sermon. I'm one of the 2 who came back with a virus. It's just a cold, but it sounds so much more sinister and dramatic to say, I brought back a Russian virus. Just a cold. I feel a lot better, but anyway, 3 years ago, George Roller, who is our German-American-Russian partnership mission team leader, and our assistant pastor, Tim Carroll, went to Rostov-on-Don. There's Rostov, Russia, and then there's Rostov-on-Don, which is on the Don River, 2 different cities. Tim and George went to Rostov-on-Don, and there they met up with a team from Germany, the former East Germany, and they were there as a part of this unique partnership that they had formed years prior, and George and Tim participated in this joint mission in Rostov-on-Don for about a week or so, came back and told us about it, and we decided to join this partnership. So then 2 years ago, 22 of us from Crossroads, I shouldn't say us because I was not one of the 22, but 22 of you went to the former East Germany, Gera, Germany, and participated in the mission there. And then last year, of course, we hosted the group. So this year it was the church in Russia's turn to host the group, and 10 of us went to Rostov-on-Don, and we were joined by 6 from Germany. The pastor from the German church gave us this little gift. This is to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the start of the Reformation. It was 500 years ago, this October 31st, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses, his objections to the Roman Catholic Church, nailed these to the door of the chapel in Wittenberg, and thus began, or really fueled, the Reformation. So he gave this to us. It's a little music box, and it plays a song that was written by Martin Luther. Let me see if you can hear it. Are you ready? Listen carefully. There you go. That's from our brothers and sisters in Christ at the G26 church in Gera, Germany. And someday when we have our own facility, I'll put this in our little display case in the new church building. But for now, I'll just keep that at home and thank our brothers and sisters from Gera, Germany for that gift commemorating the 500th anniversary of the start of the Reformation. So 7 of the 10 of us who went to Russia are here today. MJ and Madison Stodgill are out of town, and Vinaya Root is also out of town, but you will hear from 7 of us to reflect on what the Lord did through us and to us this past mission trip to Rostov-on-Don. If you attended the Sunday school class this past spring, the adult Sunday school class, our deacons so carefully led us through this class that was based on this book, When Helping Hurts. You know, then, if you attended that class, you know that sometimes these short-term mission trips can really do almost more harm than good, because especially if you are going to an area that's mostly populated by very materially poor people, sometimes the authors say that we rich Americans, we raise a bunch of money, we go to this place, and we try to do a bunch of stuff for a week or so, and we come home, and we really don't help contribute to the long-term solutions that are needed in some of these communities. Now, I think some of the principles we learned in that class applied to our mission to Rostov-on-Don. And I want to look at the, I just read you a quote from this book. Chapter 7 of the book is called Doing Short-Term Missions Without Doing Long-Term Harm. The authors quote missions expert Miriam Adeney as she recalled a story that was told to her by someone in Africa. This African Christian friend told her this story. The story is about Elephant and Mouse. Elephant and Mouse were best friends. One day, Elephant said, Mouse, let's have a party. Animals gathered from far and near. They ate, they drank, they sang, and they danced. And nobody celebrated more and danced harder than Elephant. After the party was over, Elephant exclaimed, Mouse, did you ever go to a better party? What a blast! But Mouse did not answer. Mouse, where are you? Elephant called. He looked around for his friend and then shrank back in horror. There at Elephant's feet lay Mouse. His little body was ground into the dirt. He had been smashed by the big feet of his exuberant friend, Elephant. And this African Christian storyteller concludes by saying this: sometimes that is what it is like to do mission with you Americans. It is like dancing with an elephant. So I hope, and I'm convinced, that we were not like Elephant when we participated in this partnership in Rostov-on-Don. We had a wonderful time. In fact, I was struck by a quote from the back cover of this book. The authors say, a path forward in helping people, not hurting people, a path forward is found not through providing resources to the poor, but by walking with them in humble relationships. So we have this partnership, humble relationships with folks from the former Soviet Union, Rostov-on-Don in Russia, and the former East Germany in Gera, Germany. And you will hear some testimonies now about how we were impacted by developing these humble relationships. Today our meditation verses were from Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. And it is tempting as a pastor who comes back from a mission trip to say, well, look at that. We went and made disciples. We did this. We went to all nations and made disciples. But as you heard, we were very restricted on what we could do in terms of teaching and evangelizing. So we really didn't do a lot of that. We did have some opportunities. Linda shared with you how she was able to witness to a Muslim fella on the metro, and then this amazing conversation that she and George and MJ and Becca had with this woman who was from how many time zones away?
Nine
time zones away in Russia. So this woman had come to visit her father from way far away. We can't even imagine how big Russia is. Hawaii is the furthest state from us, I guess, and that's six time zones away. So even further than Hawaii, this woman had come, and certainly there was some witnessing going on there and maybe some disciple-making as well, since the beginning of discipleship is witnessing, right? But really, that would not be fair to come back from a trip like this and say, you know, hey, we went and made disciples of all nations. You'll see in your bulletin on page 7, we also have the words of Jesus from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Soon after he gave his disciples the Great Commission, and when he ascended into heaven, he told them that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, again, I could come before you today and say, well, there you go. We were living out Acts 1:8. We went to the ends of the earth. We went all the way to Russia. But that really was not the primary takeaway we got from this trip, as you heard from our testimonies. We interacted with these folks who are in Baptist churches. And so far as I can tell, as George mentioned, there's the official Russian Orthodox Church, and then there's everybody else. Protestant churches, and I think if you're a Protestant, you're a Baptist. It's just the general category they use there. They actually are very close to us in terms of our doctrine, even in the way they organize their churches. We would say that they look sometimes more Presbyterian in their form of government than they do in terms of what we would think of a typical Baptist organizational structure here in our country. But anyway, these are brothers and sisters in Christ halfway around the world, and what we were doing, it occurs to me, is as you consider Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus said that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, is that since we are part of the worldwide church, we were there in Rostov-on-Don, and we were ministering to the folks there in the church in Rostov-on-Don. We were encouraging them. We were developing relationships with them. And as Becca and Francesca and many other people said, the relationships are so important to get to know one another and minister together, is that we were in their Jerusalem. So we were coming alongside them as they ministered to people in their Jerusalem and in their Judea and Samaria, i.e. Ukraine. After all, what can we do? We wouldn't know exactly how to minister to these folks in Ukraine, but they are ministering to these people in Ukraine. So when we took up a special offering, Kip mentioned, we took up an offering from them. It wasn't a lot of money in terms of what we would think of in terms of our normal offering on a Sunday, but we made an offering, and it was so encouraging for this church in Rostov-on-Don to then pass along part of that offering to this pastor who's actually a coal miner and overseeing several churches in Ukraine, to pass that along to them to show some tangible support as we just acknowledge that we are part of this worldwide church. Considering again what we learned this past spring when the deacon so carefully led us through this class on when helping hurts. The book points out, the authors point out, that sometimes you have to just provide relief, short-term relief. They're not saying that all short-term help is bad. For example, there's a natural disaster, a hurricane, a flood, a terrible natural disaster. You just need to provide some immediate relief, to put a Band-Aid on that wound. But they're guarding against this idea that if we think that if we're going to go on a mission trip and put a Band-Aid on things, that it might be a more serious situation. We don't want to just put Band-Aids on cancer, right? So what we have to do is continue in relationships with folks on a long-term basis and not just provide short-term relief, but do what they would call development. So there's three stages, according to the authors, of when helping hurts. Sometimes you provide that immediate relief. Sometimes you go back and provide a little more long-term help in terms of what they would call rehabilitation. But the real long-term goal that we all should have in terms of our missions and our ministry is development. So we found ourselves there in Rostov on Don with our brothers and sisters from Germany, helping them in their development, in their own ministry, right there in Rostov on Don. After all, like I said, how would we know how to minister to folks in Ukraine? But they can do it. Looking again also at Acts chapter 2, as you can see this verse in your bulletin on page 7, just a chapter after Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see the activities of the early church. The early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, we in the PCA, we're all about that first one, right? We're all about devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, folks, I don't think anyone here needs a whole lot more information in terms of living out our Christian life, right? What we need to do is actually go and live out our Christian faith. Of course, we need to be preaching and teaching and encouraging each other from God's word. But when we look at our lives as Christians, do we really need a lot more teaching? Look at what else they did here. To fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Fellowship, that is just spending time with each other, is right there listed among these other activities of the early church. Fellowship is just as important as any other activity of the church. So when I consider fellowship and when I consider getting to know each other and spending time together, there's nothing like a short-term mission trip to facilitate that type of thing. So I have so many good memories from this trip. And I know as I look back, just speaking personally, as I look back on my life someday, when I complete my ministry, as I look back on my life, as I look back on my ministry, I certainly will have many good memories about teaching and preaching and administering the sacraments and baptizing and all those things I get to do. But I will also have very good memories of just spending time with people. So I think of this past week and what a blessing it was to spend time with these 9 other folks from our church. I've known George and Linda for some 14 years now, but I spent more time with them on this past mission trip of all the time I've accumulated with them in the past 14 years, just during this mission trip. What a great blessing. I got to sit next to Linda on one of our airplane rides, and we got caught up with each other in terms of our family situations and how we could better pray for each other, getting to know more about her family, and she got to know a little more about my family and our common struggles in many cases. And with George, I got to go to the banya with George. The banya is it's a Russian sauna. It's like a torture chamber. It was so cool. This was guys' night out only, okay? Me, George, Kip, and Aaron, we went together, and there we were with our skin melting off of our bodies. The kind of place where, you know, if you inhale through your nose instead of through your mouth, you think that somebody stuck a match up your nose or something. It was horrible. We suffered together. It was awesome. We went to the banya together, and with my fellow elder Aaron, there we were sitting there suffering together in the banya. No, it was actually wonderful. Great time. But Aaron, my fellow elder, you know, I got to see him. We one of the tourist events we had, we went to see this traditional Cossack dance. and Aaron got pulled up onto the dance floor. And it was just so encouraging for me to know that I'm not the only elder who has no rhythm. That was just awesome. And Aaron mentioned his wife, Vinaya, couldn't be here today, but we were staying in the same home together with Ludmilla, who Nancy and I hosted last summer. So it was interesting for me to be able to reconnect with Luda. And of course, last year, you might remember Luda. Her countenance was rather sad because her husband had died in a car accident not many months before she came. So now here we were a year later reconnecting with her, and it was so encouraging to see that she's much happier now, and she has a grandson now, and Aaron and Vinaya got to know her. And we got to play Phase 10 and taught Kip, how do you say 10 in Russian? Yeah, that's right. We played that in Russian. And we also played Uno. And the Russian rules in Uno were if you get a draw 4, if you have a draw 4, you can put it on top and make it a draw 8 for the next person. So how cool was it for me to lay down a draw 8 on Vinaya? Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And Kip and I were roommates at the Moscow Theological Seminary for those 3 nights. And I got to go down the hall. They had this little kitchenette. I got to go down the hall. And Francesca and I, the night before, we had found at the local market, the Russians, they have this microscopically thin bacon. And so I tried to make some bacon there, and I burned the bacon with Francesca. You know, what a great memory, burning bacon with Francesca. And speaking of food, boy, I have a renewed, a wonderfully deeper appreciation now for those of you who have to be gluten-free. MJ took just a tiny bite of something that had some bread in it, apparently. And wow, I just so much appreciate her now and respect her as a sister in Christ who suffers from this. She actually said this, okay, I'm going to pass out. I'll pass out for about 20 minutes, and then when I wake up, I will not remember anything from the past day or two. And it happened. I mean, she passed out, and then when she woke up, she was reunited with the folks who were hosting her, and she got to experience all over again. Oh, good to see you again, because she forgot, for the past couple days. But this is how much more effective now I can pray for MJ and those who suffer from this. And then her daughter, Madison. She was our only teenager on the trip. But I got to sit with Madison on the bus on one of our trips, and she had brought her yearbook from high school. And we got to go through the yearbook together. And Madison told me all about the cliques in high school. You know, some things never change. I remember that from 40 years ago when I was in high school. It's still the same, folks. And she told me all about this. So I can now better understand her and what she goes through on a daily basis and the rest of our high school students as well. And then I had a wonderful time getting to know Becca. Did you know that Becca has been in Spain for the past 9 months teaching English? She met us in Moscow before returning here now, and she'll be going on for further studies at Virginia Commonwealth University. But for her to make that extra effort to not just go straight home, but to come to Russia and join up with us with her 3 suitcases, with all her belongings, and then come on home with us, it was a great joy to get to know to Becca and to rescue her on the trip home. She was sitting next to this weird guy, so I traded places with her, and I sat next to her, and then of course I gave her my cold, but at least she didn't have to sit next to this weird guy. So next week you will hear Becca singing verse 2 of Amazing Grace with MJ in Russian. What a great privilege it was to be with her. We got to sing Amazing Grace in the worship service in Rostov-on-Don last Sunday. Somebody mentioned, I guess it was Becca mentioned, that George and I did get to bring greetings to the church in Rostov-on-Don. We're not allowed to preach or teach, but at the last minute they said, okay, you can bring a greeting. So George took that opportunity to share about the German-American-Russian partnership, and I got to say a few things and present a gift to them. And it turned out to be just a wonderful worship service with our brothers and sisters in Christ there in Rostov-on-Don. So here, I realize you don't have to go to Russia to spend time with people, okay? You don't have to go to Russia to play Uno or Phase 10. In fact, I was so blessed a couple of months ago, some friends in the church invited Nancy and I over, and they taught me how to play hand and foot, this card game. It was horrible. I was really bad at it, but it was great. Just being with people. The point is that Jesus said, by this you will know you are my disciples. How? If you love one another. Friends, how do you love someone you don't know? It's so much easier to love one another, to live out what Jesus says was the mark of the Christian, to have love for one another. It's so much easier to do that when you know each other. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you can't go to Germany when we go back in 2 years. I hope you can, but maybe you can't go on short-term missions all the time. But you can spend time together. So I personally have resolved to try to spend more time with people so that I can be better equipped as a pastor to love one another. Next year, the church in Germany, if you should have gotten my email message a few days ago after we returned, the church in Germany would like to host just a meeting of a few people, and then 2 years from now, they want to host the full-blown mission. So I hope we have a big group are able to go 2 years from now. So 3 years from now, it'll be our turn to host again, should the Lord delay his return. It's kind of tricky, I think, to make so many long-term plans. The Bible says that we don't know what'll happen tomorrow. But should the Lord not return, we will be hosting 3 years from now. And then, Lord willing, 4 years from now, we'll be back to Russia. I want to close by just considering our church vision statement. It's on the front of your bulletin. We see this every week. And that is that we serve as a home base at the Crossroads of Northern Virginia for training and equipping people to grow in Jesus Christ and making him known in our neighborhoods, our nation, and the world. Certainly, we did make him known in the world. Certainly, we were living out this vision as we went to Rostov-on-Don. But honestly, I believe the primary activity that we did that aligned with our vision was that we were trained and equipped to be disciples of Jesus Christ by going and sharing our lives with these brothers and sisters from elsewhere in the world. The story that Linda told very briefly of this woman is amazing to me. If you think of it in terms of what the Lord did to bring George and Linda and MJ and Becca together with this gal from 9 time zones away to share the gospel with her. Someday, she is going to have a testimony that goes like this. And maybe this is already her testimony. She was very interested in what George and Linda and the others had to say to her. It's very likely she's already committed herself to Christ. But someday, I believe she will have the following testimony. She will say that I was from far away from Rostov-on-Don visiting my father there, went on a river cruise, and I overheard these Americans speaking English, so I got into a conversation with them, and they began to explain to me how I could have a relationship with God by grace through faith in his son Jesus. From all these many time zones away, there I was, and I came to really be interested in this, and then they invited me to this church service the next morning. And even though it wasn't convenient, I took my 2-year-old child and my niece and got on a bunch of buses and made my way to this church some 2 hours away from her father's home and went to the worship service. And she's going to say, and I had heard this beautiful singing, these Russians and Germans and Americans. It was tremendous. And this man from Ukraine, who's a coal miner, but he was there as a part-time pastor. He talked about the struggles in Ukraine. And then I got to hear the Americans sing Amazing Grace. And I heard these other testimonies from these people. And so I committed myself to following the Lord Jesus Christ. I really believe this is going to be her testimony. And we were a part of this. And think how crazy this is. This would be like, remember last year, we had, when we were hosting the Germans and the Russians, we had this cruise in the Potomac River. So it would be like this. Imagine if someone from far off places in America, Hawaii, Alaska, as far away as you could possibly get from here, was visiting her father who lived in Maryland, but she was on this river cruise and overheard these Russians talking in Russia, in Russian language. So she got interested, and they told her about Jesus, and they said, well, you really ought to go to church tomorrow morning down in Dumfries. So she took a bus for 2 hours from Maryland to come to Dumfries, and it would be crazy, right? Well, this is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord does through us when we get out there and serve him in whatever way he wants us to serve and wherever he wants us to go. So as we learn from when helping hurts, it's all about humble relationships. And I think we built those. I know we built those in Rostov-on-Don. And 2 years, mark your calendars, try to go to Gera, Germany. In the meantime, please try to make an effort to spend time together, to get to know each other, to minister each other as we serve together our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we are a home base here at the Crossroads in Northern Virginia. And sometimes we struggle to know, are we really training and equipping people to grow in their faith? Are we making him known, your son Jesus, in our neighborhoods, our nations, and the world? Father, we thank you for these testimonies today that remind us that we do have the great privilege of making him known far away from here. But we also have the privilege of making him known right here in our own neighborhoods and in our own congregation. So help us, Lord, to spend time together. There were so many who spoke about the theme of relationships as we look back on this mission trip. Would you help us to spend time together that we may love each other and serve together as your children, adopted children, disciples of your son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.